Inside on Business, the news hour is made possible with support of the Strudelhaus, the Metro's only authentic Austrian cafe, bakery, and wine bar, strudelhaus.com. And RE/MAX Real Estate Concepts, with offices across the greater Des Moines Metro. Find them at realestateconcepts.net.
Welcome back to the news hour. You know, the Americans with Disabilities Act has been critical for helping Iowans and all Americans better cope with whatever disability they might have. It was the crowning achievement of Senator Tom Harkin here in the state of Iowa, and with us is the executive director of the Central Iowa Center for Independent Living and former Detroit native, yay, yay, go Tigers, Rima McCoy McDeed. Welcome back to the news hour. Good to see you.
Thank you. It's good to see you again.
So, family still in Detroit?
Yes, yes, right. Yes, actually.
Good.
Yeah.
We will have to shout out to them.
Yeah.
Mom, dad, anybody?
My dad and my father's side of the family, all definitely still in Detroit.
All right. Go Motown.
Indeed.
All right. This is an interesting thing. First of all, let's talk just for a moment about the Central Iowa Center.
Yes. So Central Iowa Center for Independent Living has been around for 26 years. We actually got our start the same year that the ADA, or Americans with Disabilities Act, was signed into law. And so we say that we are rooted in independence. We have been providing services to people with disabilities for a long, long time. And we are also staffed as an agency by people with disabilities. And so that makes us a little bit different from the other service providers in the area.
It really would, because Individuals would have some empathy.
Exactly. We know from an insider's perspective what it is to navigate our way through the world as a person with a disability.
And is the center, is it residential? Is it people come on a regular basis and they do what there?
We are an office, and we leave our office and go out into the community to provide our services to people in their homes.
Very good. All right. So this, the ADA, and I remember when it was fostered in July of 1990, as a matter of fact. And when that happened, I was working at a long-term health care facility as its president and CEO. And I remember how people that were there were just so concerned that it was going to cost that business, even though it was a nonprofit, all kinds of money to become ADA compliant.
Mm-hmm.
And businesses across Iowa were very concerned with regard to how much it was going to cost. And some, it did cost money to come into compliance. But coming into compliance did what?
It creates a more inclusive society. I mean, the ADA really, truly brought disability rights into the forefront of the civil rights movement at a federal level.
And it's interesting that you should call it, as they do, as a civil rights effective step.
And it is.
It is.
It truly is.
And I think, you know, prior to that, prior to recognizing equality for disabled individuals, it was really kind of one of those haphazard things that people didn't give much credence to. And they thought, well, hey, as long as I'm not disabled, or, you know, all those poor people that have some disability, but accommodating them was difficult if done at all.
Yes, and I think what makes the disability rights movement a little bit unique from the other movements that have occurred in our country is that historically, people with disabilities have not spoken for themselves. Parents, guardians, advocates, and other stakeholders have spoken on their behalf. And so I think that that has impacted people's understanding of the experience of disability, because people haven't heard firsthand from individuals who experience disability what that's like.
Now, when ADA came into compliance in July of 1990, there's a lot of folks out there that don't have memory of that, because they've always lived with graded sidewalks at crossing points and sound-activated devices for crossing streets and all kinds of things. Elevators that have Braille on the inside.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, all of those did not exist.
Yeah. And I think that says a lot, that we now have at least one generation of citizens who don't know what it's like to have at least a modicum of accommodations built into our infrastructure.
With the passage of this and the center, Iowa, the Center for Disabilities, mm-hmm. Both coordinating, I mean, the same year they came into existence, mm-hmm. how has ADA impacted the people that you serve on a concrete basis? What kinds of things has ADA allowed that other people can do, other than transportation, getting from curb to curb and up elevators and things?
The biggie is allowing for reasonable accommodations, because that is what makes the civil rights movement for people with disabilities. That's another aspect that differentiates it from the other movements, that additional piece. So employers are required to allow for reasonable accommodations for all candidates for positions, and ensure that workplaces are as accessible as possible.
Is there a compendium in the ADA that you can't discriminate against an individual because they have a disability but equally qualified for that job?
That's exactly right. Yeah.
And that's a huge step at the same time.
It is. It is. And it's meant to level the playing field, so to speak, and remove a large but invisible barrier to employment for many people.
And we talk about self-sufficiency.
Mm-hmm.
That also moves that along as well.
Exactly. Because being employed and generating an income is the cornerstone of self-sufficiency.
And I would suspect that at the center that you face this with some regularity, don't you? Assisting people with self-sufficiency.
That's what we do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Good stuff. It is an anniversary date, of course, 26 years. It's hard to believe. I got to tell you, Rima, every time Rima McCoy McDeed, ladies and gentlemen, is with us in studio, every time I come to a crosswalk, I think of Senator Tom Harkin.
You're not the only one.
Every single time. And it has made such a difference, not only in this state, in this community, but the nation. Are there still some pushbacks that you experience with individuals who gripe a little bit about ADA?
I think when there's griping, it's because there's an incomplete understanding of what the ADA is. Reasonable accommodations do not mean that an employer needs to get bent out of shape, so to speak, to make something work for an applicant that is
unworkable.
Not,
yeah.
Right. And so, every position has essential functions, and if a person is not able to perform those essential functions, Title I of the ADA allows for the disqualification of them for consideration from employment.
And interesting stuff.
It's not meant to be a trap for employers. It's meant, again, to create a more inclusive society.
Good stuff. Thank you, Rima.
Thank you.
I appreciate that coming from you. It's good to see you again.
Thank
as
you.
As always.
Yes.
We are pals outside of the radio station, as you can probably tell. And anyway, socially and intellectually and somewhat culturally from time to time. Thanks again for coming by.
Thank you.
All right, we've got to clear on out of here. Next up, we've got more on the Business News Hour. We're going to be talking a little bit about social work, which is something near and dear to both Rima and I, and perhaps you. That story comes up next on the Business News Hour. When I first saw